And that's what it means for Jesus to go all in for you. Jesus did everything that you couldn't do. Jesus lived the life that you couldn't. Jesus did the miracles that we can't. All of those things proving that he is God, proving that he loves us, proving that he cares for us. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. When we study through Jesus's death, we look prior to his death and we see his suffering. We see the way that he was flogged. We see the way that people spat on him. People probably threw really nasty things at him. And all of these different things as the Son of God. Not just as a random person, not just as a good person, but as the Son of God, the one who spoke and created us. And so we see Jesus going all in for us throughout his whole life. Everything he did was so that he could bring his children home. So he saves us. Jesus went all in to save us. But to save us from what? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin. Wages are what I earned. I get a paycheck here at the church. Thank you. Those are my wages. That's what I get for the work that I do. The work that you and I have done here on this earth before Jesus gives us death. It gives us, it doesn't give us life. It doesn't do anything other than condemn us to hell. That's what we've been saved from. Revelation 21 verse 8 says this, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Now, I know it's not a popular doctrine to teach, but everybody that you meet, everybody that you see is going to live forever. We'll either live forever in a place called heaven with God and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, or we'll live forever conscious burning in hell. Don't shoot the messenger. That's what the scriptures teach. Jesus actually speaks more on hell than he does on heaven. So let that sink in for just a minute. And so this idea that Jesus went all in to save me from hell. Jesus went all in to save you from hell. How should we then live is the question that we ask. And for that, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 28 in the Great Commission passage. So if you have your Bible, I'll ask you to turn there with me. And we're going to just take a brief look at Matthew 28. Just the last two verses. And I'm actually going to start just a verse prior in verse 18. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So the first thing we see in this is wherever you are, share Jesus. Jesus says, "Go therefore." The "go" is actually implied. Jesus is saying, wherever you're at, you're there. And go make disciples while you're there. All right, he's not saying you have to go to some faraway place. He's not saying you have to do anything extraordinary. He's just saying, wherever you are, share Jesus. So if that's you in school, if you're in school, you make disciples there. You share Jesus there. If you're at work, you share Jesus there. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. You share Jesus in your home. Wherever you are, make disciples. Now, sometimes we're isolated. Sometimes we might just be stuck at home and things can get difficult that way. Then we pray to the Lord and we ask for opportunities. Maybe an opportunity when you go to the grocery store. You know, I heard of one person who, what he did, because he didn't get in touch with a lot of unbelievers, he didn't have young kids in school anymore, is he went, every time he went to the grocery store, he found the same clerk, and he shared the gospel. All right, and that means that he had to go to a lane that had a person in it, because you can't share the gospel with a robot, with a computer, with the self-checkout. So wherever you are, make disciples. You go all out for Jesus, because like I said, every single person in this room is going to spend eternity somewhere. Eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And Jesus gives us an encouragement there in verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the encouragement is that Jesus is with you always. John, in a very similar passage in John chapter 20, records Jesus saying this, just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And so we think about this concept of our being united with Christ. We're with Jesus Christ. Once we've been saved, we're no longer united to Adam in death, but we're united to Christ in life. And so a lot of times when I think through that personally, I think of the way that God looks at me. So because I'm united with Christ, God no longer sees all of the dirty, disgusting things that I've done, but God sees Jesus. And so that's part of what it means to be united with Christ. But I think something else that we ought to think through if we're united with Christ is that you and I ought to have the same heart as Christ to sinners. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've committed a sin, whatever it is, and I feel like I've got to really get upset before I can go to Jesus. I've got to really make sure that I feel really sorry before I go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. But what we don't understand sometimes is that when we sin as believers, Jesus doesn't go far away from us like we might think, like we might expect him to. But rather, the heart of Christ for us is that he draws nearer to us. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that doesn't get removed from us because I've committed a sin. No, and so our natural reaction typically to messy things, messy people, is to take a step back, is to say, man, that person's really messed up. I'm going to come back maybe when they've got it all figured out. Or, man, they've really hurt me. I'm going to come back when I feel like I ought to love them. Or I'm going to come back when I'm not so mad at them. But the heart of Christ towards sinners doesn't repel, doesn't go away when things get messy. But he draws near, and thankfully so, because if the heart of Christ for sinners was to go away when things get messy, all of us would be in hell. And so you and I ought to have that same heart as Christ towards sinners. Our big idea this morning, very similar, Carissa shared something that Keith Muneer had shared at Momentum, but it's that we are rescued sinners sent to rescue more sinners. We are rescued sinners sent to rescue more sinners. Just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so, what are the implications for that? Do you have a heart for your friends and family who are unbelievers? We heard the story of a man called Christopher Yuan. He was one of our speakers this week, and he did not grow up in a Christian home. He was, his parents were nice people and good people, and he got himself into really big trouble. I won't go into the details of it. If you want to hear his story, you can Google him. I can spell his name for you later, and you can get all the details. But through his mess ups, through his getting it all wrong, his parents actually got saved. And the moment they got saved, they started praying for their son. And they actually showed a picture of his mom's prayer request for his son, because she wrote it down on a receipt roll. And they showed the picture of it. I mean, I'm sure it would have spread from this wall to that wall. That's how often this mother was praying for her son. We ought to have that same heart for everybody in our lives who is an unbeliever. One of the fruits of our salvation is caring for sinners who need rescue. So if you don't have a heart for the lost, if you don't care that the person sitting next to you might be going to hell, maybe you need to consider whether you've met Jesus or not. There's a magician duo called Penn and Teller. You guys might be familiar. Penn is an outspoken atheist, but he shared this story once of meeting a man who gave him a Bible. And I'm just going to read it. He says, "It was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist, but he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. He was truly complimentary. It didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible." And this is an atheist. And he says, "I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it might make it socially awkward, and atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize?" he asked. "How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? If I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it and that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you and get you out of the way. And this is more important than that." Friends, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We don't love because we're some great people. We don't love because we can muster up enough love inside of us. We love because the love of God has first been given to us. And then as a result of that, that love flows out of us. Jesus went all in, so I'm going to go all out for him. Friends, it's not our job to save. We can share and we can share and we can have the heart of Christ towards sinners, but some people will still reject. Some people will still use their free will to say, "No, I would rather continue my own path." But it is our job to share. One last thing before I wrap up. I find it interesting in verses 19 and 20 that Jesus kind of gives us a couple different steps. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples, then baptize, and then teach them." But this was one thing that Jeff Bogue pointed out when he was preaching at Momentum. Many times we get that flipped upside down. We want people to get their lives together and then come to Jesus. We want people to figure out their behavioral problems and then come to Jesus. What we don't realize is that Jesus is the solution for all of those problems. That Jesus is the one who takes care of your anxiety. Jesus is the one who takes care of your anger. The one who takes care of your depression. Who takes care of whatever it is that you're struggling with. Jesus is the one who takes care of that. And so we share the gospel unequivocally. We share it with everybody. It doesn't matter if we think they might make a good Christian. We all know people like that. People who are unbelievers. Ah, man, if only they were saved, they'd be really good. No, it doesn't matter. Paul murdered Christians. He was saved. We share the gospel with all people because Jesus is the solution. Behavior modification isn't the solution. Jesus and Jesus Christ alone is. So the question to you, Jesus went all out for you. Jesus went all in for you. Will you go all out for him? You've got a paper in front of you. You can think right now. I'm sure each of you have somebody in your head who doesn't yet know Jesus. I want you to write that name down. Maybe you're the one who doesn't yet know Jesus. And you can write your own name down. And you know what you can do is you can pray right now, ask forgiveness for your sins, repent of your sins, confess your sin to the Lord, confess with your mouth that Jesus raised from the dead, and you'll be saved. It's really that simple. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. That's what the Lord impacted me with this week at Momentum. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for all of the many blessings you give to us. Father, I want to thank you that you allowed our students to go to such a wonderful conference that points people to you. Father, I thank you that our students shared and shared in such a great way. I thank you that you've given us Carissa and Grace to help us go down and help lead these students. Father, more than all of that, I thank you that you sent Jesus to save me from my sins. Father, I don't think I'm great or I've done anything to earn salvation. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. But I also know that your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins and rose again on the third day, defeating sin and defeating death. And I thank you for that. I pray right now, if there is somebody here this morning who doesn't know that, that your spirit would work in their heart right now and they would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth and be saved. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our final hymn, number 80, I Love You, Lord.
As you depart, I want you to keep that name with you and pray for that person. Pray for an opportunity to share the gospel with that person and make a commitment to do that. Maybe it's you need to get coffee with somebody. Maybe it's lunch. Maybe whatever it is. However you can connect with that person so that you can share the gospel with them. And be praying even now, because none of this is going to happen. Nothing's going to happen without the Lord working in it. All right, nothing's going to happen if we're not praying. All right, so pray now for the person who you wrote down and make it a commitment to show your love for them by sharing the gospel with them. We're going to break for 5 or 10 minutes or so.